All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to just praise the Lord for His mercy and His grace to us, that He sent His Son into this world and overcame sin and death so that we could be risen with Him in glory. Set us free from the bondage of Satan in this world, that we could be delivered from it. What a blessing it is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You this morning and we just want to thank You, God, for Your goodness, for Your mercy. Lord, we just ask Your blessing upon Your words this morning. Fill us with Your Spirit, God, that the things of God would be revealed to us, Father, in a clear manner. Lord, that we could lay hold of eternal life and the path that You offer us. Lord, that You would help us see this world as a place of death, Father. Lord, that we would flee from it to eternal life. We just ask You to help us in Jesus' name. Give us wisdom. Amen. This morning, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto His disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thou be done. Not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto His disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter not. That ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh He to His disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now. I want to talk this morning about the cross of Christ. I want to talk about the cross, not that Christ bore, but that He's called us to bear. Let's turn now to Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. And when He had called the people unto Him, with His disciples also, He saith unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, truth. He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 17, we'll begin there. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now let's go down to chapter 2. Verse 1, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Then let's go down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Today, the world looks at the image of the cross as a nice, shiny emblem, usually made of gold or silver or some fancy wood, and it's all decorated and sanded very smooth and nice. And they've turned it into an idol. Just an image of something that represents to them a salvation that someone else provided for them, that represents an idea that is completely false to God. You see, when Jesus talked about bearing a cross, He was talking about a real one that men died on, that men bled on, that men suffered on, that was heavy to carry, that was painful, and it had one purpose, and that was to kill the man that was on it. It wasn't a beautiful thing, polished and shined. It was a place of death. It smelled like death. It was a bad place. And we've changed it. This world has turned it into something that's beautiful. And they worship it. But that's not what it's about. When Jesus talked to people coming to be His disciples, He told them the rough side of what it meant to be a Christian, not the smooth, shiny side. His message didn't sound good to the ears of men. The gospel of Christ, that God offering good news of salvation, was glorious to the angels. And it was glorious to God. And it was glorious to those who heard it. But it was miserable and stank to this world. I don't want that. That's ugly to me. That's the way the world receives the message of the cross. They hate it. It's too rough. It's too abrupt. It's too hard. It's too difficult. It's painful. It's going to cost me something. And Jesus said three times, just here in Luke 14, if you won't carry it, you cannot be my disciple. I don't know what else we would have to say. What does it mean, denied? Have you ever been denied something that you had your heart set on? Have you ever been denied something that you wanted? And you thought you was going to get it, and you was expecting to have it? And you went to get it, and whoever you was going to get it from said, no, you can't have it, it's not yours. Rejected. Denied. One of the saddest things on the Day of Judgment, whenever people are standing in the multitudes, and they're going to think that they were right with God. And they're going to come before Christ and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all kinds of good things in Your name? Didn't I do what was right? Didn't I help people? Didn't I go to church? Didn't I pray? Didn't I accept You into my heart? Wasn't I baptized? And He's going to say, depart from Me. I never knew You. Depart from Me. He's warned us about this right now. He's warning us right now that unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me, you cannot be My disciple. You're not going to be there with those who I say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The cross is painful. The cross hurts. The cross will break your heart. The cross will break whatever it takes to kill you so that you can have life. Isaac and Abraham. Abraham had given Isaac as his son, for a son to Isaac, and put promises with him. Isaac was the most precious thing in this world to Abraham. It was his gift from God. And it was the fulfillment of all the promises that God had told him. He was His son. And in that seed, the whole world would be blessed, he was told. And then one day, God spoke to Abraham. Said, I want you to give your son to me. I want you to take your son and I want you to lay him on an altar and I want you to kill him. What could have been Abraham's arguments to refuse to take up his cross? But God, you gave him to me. I've invested my whole life in this boy. You gave him to me. Your promises are manifest right here in this boy. I can't do that. God, this is my son. This is my life. I can't give him to you. We'd have never heard of Abraham if he had said that. Abraham knew that all things came from God. And that God was able to take things and give them away. Abraham took up his cross and said, I'm going to follow you, God. And he offered up his son back to God. And God saw him ready to stick the knife in his chest or cut his throat, whatever he was going to do. And he said, I know now that you won't withhold anything from me. Abraham surrendered his son to God. The cross is what Abraham faced that day. And it wasn't his first one, and I don't think it was his last. But he bore it. You see, whenever you decide to follow Jesus, you don't know what's going to happen in your life. But there's something probably that scares you to death that God's going to put His finger on. There's something, some secret fear in your heart that just says, oh God, no, not this. Anything but this. Anything but this. That's the hardest thing you would ever ask me to do, God. Maybe it's offer the closest person in the world to you, to Him. Maybe it's humbling yourself and somebody in front of somebody. But it'd just destroy you to do that. I don't know what it is. But if you don't pick it up and you don't carry it, you'll be among those that say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, I don't see my life in you. You held on to that one little place in your life that you wouldn't give me. You held on to that place. And you rejected me. And you didn't want it. The cross will cost you your life. Do you think it would be easy? whenever Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was dying. And yet, whenever He got out of breath and was just about to die, He pushed His feet up, took another breath. That's what happens on the cross. You don't bleed to death, you suffocate yourself. When there's no more strength to raise up to get air, you die. And yet men on the cross will be there for days, just trying to get one more push from their feet to get a little air to keep them alive longer. And we do that over and over and over again till we finally give up and accept it. The cross will cost your life. And we fight and we fight and we fight those things that we don't even know what's ahead of us, but we're afraid. And we don't want to take up that cross. We can obey. We can offer sacrifices. We can do all kinds of things and never allow God to have that one place that we won't let Him have. That sounds foolishness. That sounds like foolishness to a lot of people. They think, well, if I just understand doctrine correctly, or if I just put into practice a few of these things, I'll be all right. I'll be safe. If I'm just part of a safe church, I'll be all right. But Jesus said, unless you take up your cross, deny yourself and follow Me, you won't be all right. You won't be His disciple. Talked a little last night about I think it was Saul, that God had told him to go in and completely destroy this group of people they were fighting. And Saul killed most of them and destroyed most of it, but he saved the best part. He saved some offerings. And Samuel came to him and he said, oh, I've obeyed God. We had a great victory. Samuel heard these offerings and he said, what is this bleeding in my ears? Saul had saved the best part. And he said, he was rebuked and said that obedience is better than sacrifice. Surrender that best part. If you're trying to hang on to the best part of your life, that is just a bleeding sacrifice in God's ears. God wants your best. Give it to Him. Sacrifice it to Him. Not as the way they were looking at sacrifice. They thought that, and this is the way the world looks at sacrifice, well, I can just continue to live in sin and then just offer a sacrifice to cover it. I can continue to disobey God and then just offer a sacrifice to cover it. God hates that. In Isaiah chapter 1, it says, I hate that kind of offering. People used to do it in the Old Testament. They'd disobey God and then just go kill a lamb somewhere. Or kill a goat. and offer it for a sin offering. The Catholics used to say, well, here, you pay in advance for when you're going to sin. What'd they call it?
An indulgence.
Just pay in advance. Offer your sacrifice in advance and it'll all be all right. People, today, you get the principle. People today say, well, God will forgive me. Jesus died for my sin. And they go right on and do it and then just say, okay, Jesus, forgive me now. Do your magic on me. I believe that's why you died. They just offer a bleeding sacrifice. And they keep back what God really wants. It's not a matter of just doing everything perfect and just being a perfect being. It's being a man with a heart that will obey and do what God wants to, as feeble as he is, but being able to do it. Being willing to surrender. We see sometimes people that are a little bit handicapped or something a little bit wrong with them. And they may not be able to perform like you do. You might even laugh at them at their fumbling way to be able to do something. But when you give them some instructions, they're listening. A lot of times we think we got it figured out and we don't need to listen. Our way is a little better. It's not about just being able to function perfectly and properly in everything. It's about having ears to hear God and a heart that'll just give it to Him when He asks for it. A heart that will trust Him with your life and everything that pertains to. A heart that will surrender to the will of God. Think that's odd that you have to surrender? That's why we read about Jesus in the very first. He prayed, recorded there, 3 times that evening. He saw what God wanted from him. A lot of times we don't see it. We just know what He wants, but we don't know where it's going to lead. Jesus looked and He could see the cross set before Him in the morning. And He said, God, if there's another way, I'll take it. I haven't sinned. Why do I have to go through this? Isn't there another way? Couldn't they just shoot me? Couldn't we just get it over with quick? I don't know what was going through his mind. But I know what would be going through mine. If you knew that in the morning they were going to come, what would you be doing tonight? Would you be saying, or would you be running? We run in our hearts instead of coming before God and say, God, I don't want this. I don't like this. It's too hard for me. You're asking my life. But, Lord, it's not what I want. I want to do Your will. You see, Jesus had the same struggle that you might be facing about losing your life.
Jesus had to face that same struggle. It hurt Him and it cost Him just as much as it does you to face life. And right here is where He won the battle. He said, God, not my will, but thine be done. Can you imagine when you actually surrender to the will of God? What power can this world have over you? When you face this cross and you say, God, I don't know what lays before me. I don't know what's there. But You do. And I am going to put my confidence in You. I'm going to trust You. Jesus surrendered His will to God. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood under the stress of surrendering His will. The next morning, when they come to get Him, He wouldn't even let them lift a finger to keep from taking Him. He went and they nailed Him to the cross. They whipped Him. They beat Him. They mocked Him. Stripped Him. Put a crown of thorns on His head. And He never complained a bit about it. He won the victory on the cross before He ever saw the cross. Once He was on there, He was already dead. He had already died before He ever died. Because that battle had taken place the night before. And He won. There's a cross for everyone. It's nice to talk about Jesus' cross. Take the choice out of it for yourself. But when you talk about Jesus' cross and take the choice out of it for yourself, you take heaven out of it for yourself too. You're just laboring under a false hope. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Sometimes we look at a lot of people that are doing a lot of right things. That they're writing books and they're giving messages. And they're trying to explain a pure doctrine of Christ. They're trying to explain things where it will be easy for men to accept them. For it will be easy for men to accept this message. Where it will be easy for men to get saved and start obeying Christ. And they leave the cross out of it. That's going to be worse. That's going to be uglier than a child molester on the judgment day. That's going to be uglier than a drug dealer selling dope to children on the judgment day. That's going to be uglier than a woman turning her children away from God. Or a father trading their children up to be atheist and mock everything that's godly. To leave the cross out of the message of Christ is as antichrist as there is. If you leave the cross, your cross, out of Christ, or if you leave presenting the cross to a man that's following Christ, you've made yourself a twofold child of hell. And you'll get your prize. You will be rewarded on the judgment day for winning that convert to hell. Preaching is a serious thing. All these wise people writing books and teaching about Christ. And if Christ don't look down and see the cross in it, He'll puke. There's one way to enter into life, and that's through death. The only way that a grain of wheat can produce any fruit is to fall to the ground and die. Jesus said, if you love your life in this world, you will lose it in eternity. But if you'll lose it now, you'll gain it. The wisdom of this world will come to nothing. All the wise philosophers and all the wise teachers telling us about Christ without the cross. It looks good to the world. It looks nice. It looks wholesome. But it's the way to death. If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If you seek to gain your life, you'll lose it. Christ didn't die halfway. He didn't just go to sleep. He died. The cross looks terrible from this side of it. But it's your only way of escape out of this world. Christ surrendered His will, and He calls us to too. I don't know what our future holds. I remember whenever I was seeking the Lord, He had His finger on that one little place in my heart. You know, whenever I talk to people about God, or whenever I talk to the wise men of this world and ask what I should do, I was asking, and it was right on the tip of my tongue as I spoke. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. What are you asking people about all the time, or what you should do? What's troubling you? Face that thing. Because that's probably the very thing God wants from you. If you're trying to make a way around it, it's probably what He's wanting. He didn't show me what it was going to cost me. He showed me what He wanted. That was my life, my heart, my soul, my strength. All the good things He had given to me. That's all He wanted. He just wanted what He gave me back. And as I yielded and I began following, then the weight of the cross began to feel its lay itself on my body and on my heart. Now I had to begin to make decisions to be faithful to that decision that I had made. Some of the hardest decisions I ever had to make. And all I have to do is just knock the edge off of them just a little bit and they'd just all be better. Just compromise just a little bit on that one decision that I am going to follow Christ with all my heart. You begin to compromise and the light begins to go out and the darkness begins to creep in and you can't even see the path anymore. Be faithful to Christ. I think that's what we don't think about enough. Being faithful to Christ. Holding fast that commitment to Him. A lot of times we think that unless there's a government or something saying, here, bow down to this altar, that we don't really have to worry about yielding and laying down our compromise or commitment. We'll just do it for our family. We'll just do it for our pride. We'll just do it so they won't think bad of me. We'll just do it so I can still be a part of a church. That's gone astray. We'll just keep trying to push up, get one more breath. It gets hard. There was a bunch of them that began to follow Jesus. And He said something that was too hard for them and they all went away except for the few, the 12. And He even turned to them and said, well, are you going to go follow them too? Is it getting too tough for you? Go ahead. They said, where can we go? We'll take whatever comes. We're going to follow you. You have the words of eternal life. They saw that path and they wouldn't be deterred from it, those who were faithful. But history is littered with those who had the light and turned from it. Take up your cross and follow. It's not a one-time decision. It's a lifetime walk that He's calling us to. You're not saved until you are in the arms of Christ. You're not saved until you enter glory. And Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want a safe place. We're looking for a nice place of rest. We're looking for a comfortable place. There's nothing in this world, no place in this world to stop and get comfortable in. May God help us to deny ourselves. Deny preserving ourselves to make the cross a little lighter. It's a dangerous path. It's not about a bunch of rules. It's not about what we can or can't do. It's about being faithful to Christ. Faithful to Him and His words, His message. Not being ashamed of it. And letting the cross be as heavy as He wants to put on. And rejoicing in it. Because that's the way to life. Everything in this life is upside down. Everything the world tells us is exactly backwards of what reality is. Live your life. Enjoy your life. Find yourself. Get a life. And Christ is saying, no. Lose your life. Die. Just exactly the opposite. Don't waste your life, the world says. Christ says, waste it. May God add His blessings. Father, thank You, Lord, again for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Help us, I pray, to apply these things to our life and heart. Help us to carry these things out, Lord. Help us to live this life of death, Father, in this world. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give you an opportunity to someone to add something or share.
I know the question was brought up to people as you were saying that where is the cross? And the cross is what's your heart is, what your character values too. But I was also thinking about this too, where Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says, the grace of God leading us to salvation is still upon all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, but to live righteously, soberly, and godly. And I reflect back on my own life, listening to my conscience or listening to others warn me about it, you shouldn't do that. And I kept on pressing on. I always fell. And I think that was grace speaking to me. It hurt my ears because I thought this would be beneficial for me and my family if I do this. And now I just continue to try to listen for that grace to teach me tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I can see the people dying on the cross and they're just struggling to live just for a second longer. And he was just at peace and just, you know, sunk down and died. And that's just, I mean, that's the same thing that people do today. It's just they fight for every second of life they can get. And it just doesn't make sense sometimes. I mean, but they're afraid of what happens after you die.
Amen.
Everybody says they don't believe in heaven and hell, they believe in evolution, but I haven't met anybody who finds out that they have a terminal illness or they get in some kind of major car wreck or something like that it doesn't very strong, because it's just ingrained in us to know that there's a life after death and what's going to happen. That being faithful, I mean, I remember you preached a message, I forgot the name of the man, but he was one of David's men, and he was guarding the lintel thing and just staying faithful on guard. I mean, he wasn't doing anything great, he was just staying faithful. And then God allowed that person to do something greater. If you look at Moses, he was in the desert for, I think it was 40 years, just watching sheep. And that's the, I mean, you try to follow the Lord and you say, oh, I need to go be a missionary, I need to do this, or I need to do that. It's just, the hardest thing is to just stay faithful in a little bitty thing that is just every day. It's just that where the battle is. It's not because of something.
Amen.
I mean, I think it was a message everybody needed to hear. It's hard to remember the cross. I mean, it's hard to... The first time you see the cross for real when you're trying to follow Christ, it's a battle, it's a struggle. I mean, you don't want to accept it, but that's the gospel right there. It's not... You don't have to understand the ransom theory. You don't have to understand everything in the Bible. You just, like you said, follow Christ. That's where the struggle's at, is just to stay faithful in the little things.
Amen.
Oftentimes, when you look at the cross, you take a lot of younger people, even older. You take a man there, he said to Jesus, Peter. He said, what about him? Talking about John. He said, what is that to thee? What about me? So we need to maybe have encouragement with the people. Oftentimes, you know, people can say, well, I'm a Christian. Why do you have to be that way? I'm a Christian, and I don't have to live that way. That has nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or not. It's where does God say that I should be?
Amen.
That's what I need to do. What does that be? Follow that.
Amen. That is concerning a choice that God is calling you to do that you don't want to do. That's what I'm talking about. It's choosing to forsake this world and follow Christ. It's not all these just little things that distract us. It's about, I've chosen to follow Christ and I'm going to be faithful to Him. And whenever it's presented to you, usually, someone is pressing you just to give in just a little bit. Just to give up. Just to smooth the edges. It's the cross is what comes with our choice. It's the cross is the burden. The cross is what comes after we've made that choice. We've died and are walking, and it's the result of our choosing this path. It's what comes, the rejection, the people looking at you funny, the separation of people you love. Well, if you just give up on this, it'll be okay. We can get back together. We can be friends again. We'll receive you again if you'll just give up on this. It's not about the daily struggles that we face. The whole world faces those struggles. That's normal to man.
But it's being faithful. I'm going to be faithful to Jesus. That's when it's hard. Because it gets cloudy then. Am I sure this is the path I need to take? Look at how everyone's telling me it's wrong. My family's come down against me. Everyone's saying, you're on the wrong road. And yet, you know there's a battle there that you're fighting. It gets easy just to give an ear to those arguments. Walking through the world. The cross is going against. We're all walking through the world, the thorns and the briars and everything. The cross is going this way when the world's going that way. Everybody's going to have those things. Doubts and fears. What direction are you going? The direction you need to go with it.
Direction, just like Tony gave testimony, Daniel's son Tony baptized yesterday, I guess, maybe before yesterday. He said, I was just for years filling myself up with knowledge. He studied the Bible faithfully, it seems. Filling himself up with knowledge. I realized there's something I need to do. And I said, I don't understand everything about this way. But I'm just going to be faithful to what I know.
Amen.
Even the world saying, you need to get a life. I mean, that's backwards too. That's what we're doing. We're dying now. Seek the life in the next. That's what we're doing. Seeking the life.
Amen.
We're seeking life. And that, even that statement in itself is backwards.
Amen.
The best way, I think, to understand it, just like you had mentioned it, clear the most confusion is Christ is calling us. That we were born in this world and we had all these preconceived notions when we were children about everything. And when Jesus came to the Jews, he said, you've heard it was said, but I say it this way. And Jesus' way is the way for us to die. When we decide to do that, to repent, to do Jesus' way, then the cross is laid upon us because the crosses are applying Jesus' teaching. And it could be that the cross that I have to deal with as well. It could be humbling myself in this area. I mean, it's everything, but it comes after we've died to this world's way and this world's philosophies and taking up Jesus' way. Because the only way, Christ says, for you to have life, you must die. When we start applying that, then the cross comes. And then we die. Then we start to live. But it's not until we die and then get the cross that life, true life, starts to blossom within us. And there's this period of great trouble. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. And those who enter it with a struggle, is in this one verse that we were reading. And that's right. But we die first.
We hear what he's saying and we follow it. That's it. And we take the price that comes from following it. If we try to negate the price, that's wherever you're denying your cross. If we try to avoid what comes from following Christ, that's where we get in danger of denying the cross.
If we try to find what our cross is before we die, we're never even going to be able to find it.
Don't.
Because that's a lot. Sometimes people seek and seek and seek. What's my cross? What's my cross? What's my cross? They've got to die first. And their cross will then be evident.
Right. Just give God what He wants and die. And take the punishment or whatever the world dishes out for doing that. Make your choice straight and let the cross be a... Don't create your own cross. That's foolishness. It's heavy enough without that. It's what people trying to punish themselves or trying to make themselves poor or trying to do something to give themselves their own cross. There's no need for that. Follow Christ. The cross He gives will be just the right size. Don't try to figure it out. Don't make a theology out of the cross. Follow Jesus.
Whenever we make our own cross, that's not something that the scriptures bear out or tell us. Like in your situation, everybody in the Bible, God was pointing out the riches to you. But if it's something that isn't that way, and we've just created this religious ideology in our own mind, and we feel compelled to do that's a virtue.
It's just like trying to find security in eternal security. It's just the other realm of that, the other side of that. I'm trying to find suffering in Christ, just like someone else would be trying to find security in it.
The confusing part of it is it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Just take what comes from the cross.
That's what is.
What's that?
It's just what it is.
It's just what it is. It's not a magical spiritual thing. It's real whenever the cross is laid on you. Bear it.
When I get on my cross, my punishment is right at home.
Amen. It's right in front of your face. It's something you didn't want, not something you tried to bring on yourself. Amen.
I think you do know what your cross is. It's what's hindering you from the kingdom. It's what's keeping you from doing what you command us to do.
you know what your cross is. Your choice is either to follow or follow after Him. And if that would be career, family, or as He said, forsake it all, anything that would be a hindrance for you to follow after Him, that would be the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, like Job was saying, there is consequences to that.
Amen.
Some of us in here know of an example of just a prime example of someone who has something that they're not going to, they've decided before they decided to follow Christ that this is one thing that God isn't going to try.
Mm-hmm.
They just tried to, they tried other things, they tried dressing very plainly, they tried driving horse and buggy, and they tried keeping just to find something that they can call a cross instead of, in their case, it's very important to be, but that's off limits. That's one thing they're not going to do. He even said he's willing to, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to know what he's going to do. But he'd be willing to try almost anything else that's that one thing.
Trying to offer a sacrifice instead of obey. There's a lot of people punish themselves. There's a lot of people get religious. Very religious. Just to keep from obeying. The battle's over. God will take care of the rest. Amen.
Just perfectly done right, and mistake that for
for it's not a real cross, and it's just something that, yeah, we need to be maybe careful with, or tempered in, or more of, or diligent in, or whatever, but that's not what Jesus said would keep you in or out of the kingdom. And that is what the cross thing we're talking about. The real thing that allow you into the kingdom or bar you from it. And not necessarily the daily learning things, and we begin to make those things, and it actually takes away from the real cross, and we lose sight of that, and it distorts our vision and clouds it and befuddles it. And that's just a way of...
another way to trip you up. Sometimes sometimes, like somebody mentioned, that cross is just growing. I think that's what we've faced with some of the young men, some of you young men. You don't have to set the world on fire right now. I mean, you've maybe squandered your lives, wasted them on something else. It's going to take some time to mature out of that. That's fine. Be ready to do whatever God wants you to do. And if that means mature a little bit, maturity takes a little time. But be ready. And your brethren will see what you need whenever you're ready. Then you can be ready with confidence. That's one thing most young men don't lack. They're all full of confidence and they need a little maturity. And that's a cross sometimes, just to let yourself mature a little bit. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
And Don Young's wife is really with him.
No, Don Young's wife is spreading again this hell to leave. Just quiet, just leave. Just leave.
Well, we talked to him a while. He's pretty poor health. No true thing.
I know that one time he was close to dying. Can you get a bed like that?
Oh, his wife, John's mother, was about to say how sick he's been. He's just up and down constantly. He didn't look very good. Anyway, then Daniel's second son, the first one was Rob Blake, the second one was Daniel Michael Sherry. So he follows.
A man down in Peru that David baptized
4 years ago. Sure. Death authorities, I talked to him last night. He sent his greeting to everybody and is going to be up visiting in Columbia, you know, or with us during the time we go down to visit. And Jefferson wanted to be baptized. Okay.
You're going to be gone?
The team. Well, something like that. We're missing something. Monday we come back.
Yeah.
Leave once. We leave Thursday and come back Monday.
All right. Anyone else have any?
Hey, Lord, you got 3 hours from the border, Texas, Mexico. Send greetings to everybody. He and his mother here visiting a number of months ago. Robert sent his greeting.
What about Robert?
Lord.